our first interview, Marnie catches up with Peter Wilson. No, not our chairman, Peter Wilson, but the other one. The one who has been executive director at the Theatre Royal for quite some time, but who is now on the verge of leaving. We apologise for the background noise, but as Peter says, it is a busy working theatre and the announcement has to be heard throughout the building.
Well, I never thought I would live so long as to see this day. Peter Wilson's leaving the Theatre Royal Norwich. All our listeners know how much I enjoyed my years working at the theatre and why this is a sad occasion for me. Peter, good morning.
Morning, Marnie.
We hope you're going to tell us about some of the special moments that you've had. But first of all, welcome to Chat Around. When did you first come across the Theatre Royal Norwich?
I must have come across it in the late 1980s because I knew there was kind of problems. Well, actually, I'll tell you. No, I was then a commercial producer and I was touring shows, and I nearly did a deal with Dick Condon, my predecessor.
Oh, yes.
To bring Libby Morris, who was then doing an Ethel Merman impersonating show, to Norwich. And at the very last moment, Dick said, and for that money, he said, I will be getting Ethel Merman herself. And I said, no, Dick, she's been dead many years. And what you get is Libby Morris. And the deal kind of fell apart at that stage. But Norwich has always been on the touring circuit, so it wasn't a surprise to me.
No.
That it was there.
And so when did you come here?
We decided, my wife and I, we have three children, and we didn't want to bring them up in London. So in about 1989 or 1990, we started looking around for somewhere to live outside London. And frankly, Norfolk was the only place we could afford. And I was at that stage going to commute from Downham Market to my business in London.
Right.
And while we were kind of looking for a house, the job came up in December of 1991, and I applied for it and got it, and I started in February of 1992.
And that's the job of executive director and totally responsible for the refurbishment? There was a big refurbishment going on?
There had been a big refurbishment going on. Some of your listeners may remember it had all kind of fallen apart in some chaos in the late 1980s, and the building was dark for nearly 3 years, I think, and then we reopened in November of 1992, having done quite a lot of work on the stage. It wasn't so much in the front of house, but it was the stage. They raised the fly tower so that people didn't see the bottom of the flats wobbling away in midair, and they extended one of the wings out towards the garden of the Assembly House, and that was the big refurbishment in 1990.
And that was
1992. Well, it was 1990 to 1992. They did a lot of work. Dick Condon had by then resigned, and then he died, and it was when I arrived in February of 92, there were four of us in the porter cabin, and in the car park here. The building was pretty chaotic, and now what is 190 employees turning over £15 million a year. It's been quite a roller coaster.
It's been quite a journey. Yes, absolutely.
Not.
And I joined in September 92. I came
indeed, and when I told James Clemenson, who was then the chair, that I'd asked Marnie Meakin to be the front of house manager, and she'd given me my very first job in theatre. He said immediately, "Goodness," he said, "she must be very old."
And indeed, she was, and is, and even older. So the major reservations you just told us about. What were the opening performances? Can you remember?
Yes, I can. Tom Jones came. We'd actually booked the Sid Lawrence Orchestra, which had been the very final thing which had performed at the old Theatre Royal. So we'd booked the Sid Lawrence Orchestra, but suddenly Tom Jones was available. And he came along and did something in, I think, October of 1992, without us really kind of publicising it. And then the Sid Lawrence Orchestra. And then the RSC came with Ian Judge's wonderful production of Comedy of Errors, with Des Barrett playing both twins. And then I think Princess Alexandra Oh, never mind that. I'll keep on talking. Princess Alexandra turned up to watch the Birmingham Royal Ballet do the Nutcracker.
Oh, right.
So it was a kind of fortnight of soft opening. A lot of people were invited. Yes. It was a very nice, happy period. And by that time, of course, we'd hired Lionel Blair to do the pantomime.
Right, of course.
If you remember, Lionel played Buttons.
Yes, indeed, yes.
The only pantomime in which, after the transformation scene, the very first person you see is Buttons. Rather than Cinderella.
Yes, that was a bit special. I remember the Tom Jones thing quite well, because one of my first jobs was to find 72 towels. It was part of the rider that they had. You had to have 72 towels, and this is not a thing I'd ever been faced with before.
No, indeed. I remember that his...
Hotels come in use.
Yes, indeed. I remember that his audience, his audience was quite elderly, and I think somebody actually threw a support hose onto the stage.
Really?
He was used to pants, but, you know...
No, I don't believe that. amongst the first performances I remember were Doreen Donnelly. You will remember her.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
Yes. What did she do?
Raven contact stage door, thank you.
Well, you'll get these noises from the theatre in the background.
I'm sorry, but it's a working theatre, yes.
Absolutely
it goes
right.
on.
Absolutely right. And I hope they find Jason who get him to stage door. Yes, Doreen was... she came to the theatre with Neville Millar from time to time.
With
Neville Millar, who was then critic of the Evening News. And she was running... Now, we did shows in aid... Or was it called Hello Chatterbox? With Doreen Donnelly.
Yes, that's right. It was.
And then gradually over the years, Doreen lost her sight, didn't she?
Mm.
But she stayed a friend. She's no longer with us, of course.
And she stayed friendly with Neville Millar, who is still a friend of the theatre.
Yes, indeed.
He comes in.
And Neville's rather completely ageless, of course. Anyway, Doreen was a friend and was a huge supporter at a very early stage. And it was not straightforward because, well, you remember, my predecessor was a kind of legendary figure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and every time I turned round, there was somebody, you know, tut-tutting that I wasn't him.
Yes. Oh, I felt that.
Did you?
Yes, I felt it very strongly because he had such a big front of house presence. And I always used to say, I wish I had a pound for every time somebody said, of course he was a personal friend of mine. Everybody that came in the theatre thought he was a personal friend, not just the front of house manager. That was the impression he gave.
But he may well have been. I mean, it was an old-fashioned, it was a very effective way of running a theatre.
Yes,
and he was fantastically successful. And all credit to him for keeping the theatre going during the time he was here. He used to turn up, I gathered, about noon on day, and then stay until the last member of the audience had left.
Yes,
so he was here until 2 or 3 in the morning.
Absolutely.
But those days are kind of gone. You know, but you can't run a theatre on personality alone anymore.
No, I don't think so.
As I've proved.
Commercial, yes.
Having no personality at all.
You must have some personal highlights. What were some of your favourites?
Well, for historical reasons, of course, the Norwegian National Opera Ring Cycle in 1997 was a huge achievement for the theatre. It was a very, very big risk. And up to then, if you'd go back through the published accounts, you'll see that we were existing on a knife edge. We would make £20,000 one year and then lose £50,000 the next year and make £30,000.
Yes,
it was a real knife edge, and there was a feeling that theatre royal was, you know, wasn't immortal, that there was no reason why it should go on. But something happened with the Norwegian Ring Cycle. It made us much more confident about the future.
These are the 5 Wagner operas.
That's right, yes. Das Rheingold, Walküre,
4.
Siegfried and Götterdämmerung.
Yes.
And they were done over a fortnight. We got a million kroner from the Norwegian government to help with it. And it was a wonderful fortnight, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic time,
And you handled it brilliantly in terms of the front of house and, you know, people wanting picnics and drinks.
Yes,
and
we did.
It was just fantastic. And then, I guess after that... After that, it was much less in terms of individual performances, other than Tantalus, I think, was a wonderful thing in 2001. And the very first time that Cameron McIntosh brought Miss Saigon to the theatre with the projected helicopter, that was a moment where I thought, yes, this is a big muscular theatre.
Yes.
We're going to handle all this stuff.
Yes.
And because it wasn't... we risk many hundreds of thousands of pounds in advance, and things could easily not work.
Yes, yes.
And after that, it became a matter, actually, of... well, the Matthew Bourne connection is very important. We took the very first production of Swan Lake in 1996, and we've taken everything of Matthew's ever since. And indeed, we were instrumental with the touring partnership in keeping Matthew in the United Kingdom. So that was an important thing. And I think Propello, Ed Hall's Propello Company, has been...
These are all things that I really loved as well.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
And of course...
They have been some fabulous...
And the thing which has actually underpinned everything has been our steady determination that the pantomime won't have big stars in it, but it'll just be as good as we can make it.
Yes.
And I think that's paid dividends.
That's still a firm favourite with everybody, isn't it?
It is.
All sorts of people can come to the pantomime that aren't particularly interested in theatre.
It's the only performing art form which, at its best, appeals to everybody.
Yes, yes, that's right. Yeah. It does. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've had some great times with screaming children running about the place. Yes. Popcorn everywhere. And any major disasters that you can think of?
Not really, no. There have been shows that disappointed. The big disappointment for me was when Derek Jacobi came in Hadrian the Seventh, which had been a huge hit in London in the 1960s, I think.
Yes.
And we guaranteed it quite a large sum of money, and it never really took off. But what one realises is that theatrical fashion moves on, and those very verbose plays of the 1960s don't always work now. Equus as a play is, there's too many words. The Killing of Sister George, which Miriam Margolyes came through with, is a boring play. Actually, it was shocking in its day, but it's actually a boring play. And Hadrian the Seventh is just plain didn't work.
Yes.
And you realise that
time moves on. Arcadia by Tom Stoppard.
Yeah.
Absolutely nobody booked in advance. But by the Saturday night, we had queues down to Marks and Spencer's.
Absolutely packed,
people coming on the second time.
It was wonderful, wasn't it? And I'll tell you who was in that. Bill Nighy, Rufus Sewell, Harriet Walter, Felicity Kendall, and various others. But that'll do to start with.
It was quite a good cast, yes. You can say that. And you've just done two huge projects over these years. I'm thinking of The Garage and Stage 2.
Actually, three huge projects. Well, there's a garage, there's the refurbishment we did in 2007.
Oh, of course, yes.
And Stage 2, yes. No, I'm distressingly familiar with big construction projects.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Just when you do one, you think, oh, this is how bad it gets. This is how unpleasant it is. This is how many details you have to keep in your head. And then it came
somehow,
as a surprise to do another one.
Yes. And I hear that's what's going to happen next, is that right?
Well, with luck and a following wind, yes. There's a developer in London who's going to redevelop the Arts Theatre on Great Newport Street, which is where the very first production of Waiting for Godot happened in 1956.
Yes.
Now, he wants to demolish the theatre.
Really?
But the planning consent that he's got means that he has to replace it with another theatre. And I've been working now for a couple of years with him on redesigning a new theatre.
Oh,
to go in the same place.
That's very exciting. I didn't realise it was as drastic as that.
Oh, yes. No, it's a complete...
So you have
demolition.
Done it again, Pete.
I'm afraid so.
Dropped yourself in.
And this one, I fear, is going to be even more expensive.
Yes, that's going to be a big one, given its position in the West End. Yeah,
it's, indeed. Well, it's just around the corner from Leicester Square Tube Station.
Yes.
And actually, usefully, it's just up the road from my London office.
So
it'll be an easy thing to manage.
Good. Well, thank you ever so much, Peter, for talking to us. I'm sure everybody wishes you all the very, very best in the future, and we shall be keeping an eye out and keeping our listeners up to date with what you're up to.
Please. And I'm staying in Norfolk, so come back to me.
Absolutely. Okay. That's really lovely. Thank
Bye-bye.
You very much indeed.
Marnie saying goodbye to Peter Wilson of the Theatre Royal.